There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. And I welcome Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center to help me understand the continuity of the People's Republic of China, the Chinese Communist Party, these last years in its message to the United States. Weifeng, I recount my understanding of the man who spoke forcefully at a recent meeting between the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, and his opposite numbers from the People's Republic of China, Mr. Blinken and Mr. Sullivan. The man's name is Yang Jiechi, and he is the same forceful speaker who presented to the Obama administration, November 1st, 2016, John Kerry, Secretary of State, Susan Rice, National Security Advisor at the time, anticipating Hillary Clinton's administration within a week. The message was, to shorten it, that China's territorial integrity and sovereignty will be maintained. He delivered that message forcefully, politely. At the time, the relations between the Obama administration and Xi Jinping and Beijing were cordial and competitive. In December of that year, Yang Jiechi delivered the same message to the surprising winners of the November 2016 election. That would have been the Trump hands, led by Jared Kushner. Steve Bannon was present. Michael Flynn was present. The message again, China's territorial integrity and sovereignty will be maintained, will be defended. Now, the way I read the conversation these last days, especially in Alaska, between the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, and the newly installed Biden administration is again, China's territorial integrity and sovereignty will be defended and maintained. What does this mean, repeating the same message over what now is 5 years, three different administrations with regard to the relationship between Washington and Beijing? Not the least, and perhaps the most important, the unsolved pandemic and how it just preys upon the economy of the planet. So, Weifeng, a very good evening to you. I ask you to explain to me and to the audience what Mr. Yang is saying, because he said it to different audiences over 5 years with completely different circumstances, except one is China and one is the government of the United States. Good evening to you, Weifeng.
Good evening to you too, John, and thanks for having me. I think this is a great question because it touches upon something very culturally unique about the Chinese language when it comes to politics, because sovereignty is a all-encompassing word. So it governs what China's doing to Xinjiang, the Uyghur region, what it's the way it's crushing the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong, and potentially including Taiwan, and China's way of handling the pandemic being respected by the international community. So everything China wants in terms of policy, they can put that under the huge umbrella of sovereignty, which suggests that, you know, for all these years, the aggressive, more and more aggressive foreign policy the Chinese government has been pursuing has never changed. And this is also pointing to a policy failure to the United States and its allies, because for all these years, the Western nations have not come up with an effective way to counter China, whereas China's course has never changed, being more and more aggressive in terms of challenging the liberal international order. So I think that's a huge problem. And what happened last Friday in Alaska should be yet another warning shot to policymakers here in Washington.
Does this give us a roadmap for the Biden administration? I understand it's early. The policy is still being put together. I note that significant cabinet members, Mr. Blinken, one of them, traveled to South Korea and Tokyo before they met with China. Do you discern a change here? I'm trying to see if there's a new pattern or it's the same old pattern of jaw, jaw, and no worse than that.
I think there are some signs that are positive and should be considered much welcomed, including, like you said, those visits to Japan and South Korea. And also just today, the United States and its allies simultaneously put out sanctions on Chinese officials involved in oppressing the Uyghur minorities in China. So those coordinated actions with allies are much welcome, in my opinion. But we also should be cautious and to not get ahead of ourselves, because coordinated actions like this, I don't think the Chinese regime is afraid of a couple of officials being sanctioned by the Western countries. But I think the U.S. and its allies need to come up with stronger actions, more effective actions in terms of changing the Chinese behavior. Otherwise, it's going to get worse and worse, and we are going to be seeing the same show one administration after another.
What is the ambition in Beijing? I understand Middle Kingdom. I understand territorial integrity and sovereignty. What is the immediate ambition for the mortal Xi Jinping? What does he want?
So this is a very important question. It gets to the underlying guiding philosophy of Chinese politics. In fact, the research I do at Mercatus, where we have been doing this for a few years now, that tracks Chinese propaganda in China's national newspapers and monitor exactly what they are thinking and what they might do. And what we have detected in recent years, this is under the Policy Change Index project, is that China is viewing the Western world as a challenge to how it would achieve its Chinese dream. So China all for a long time has this victim mentality, right? So all these Western nations, including the U.S., are suppressing China's rise. And because China has a totally different model, you know, changing its behavior to be the same as liberal democracies is not going to work for them. This is from their perspective. And so, overtaking Europe, obviously, it's a task half accomplished now. And eventually overtaking the U.S. would be their biggest roadblocks ahead of time.
Territorial integrity. I walk around that phrase again and again, used by Mr. Yang, who is a very careful speaker. He's prepared this remark over 5 years and repeated it several times. Is that about Taiwan? Is that about saying, do not interfere in our internal affairs, and one of them is Taiwan, one of them is Xinjiang, one of them is Tibet, but especially Taiwan? Are they saying the U.S. should not speak out or act if there is any compromise of Taiwan?
I agree with you 100%. I think Taiwan is the biggest candidate here under the umbrella of the integrity of the territory. But it could also be, for example, the border conflict between China and India too. But I think Taiwan is very important because now it has become the major producer of semiconductor chips. And semiconductor in the world of electronics is just like crude oil to the global economy. So when we look at Taiwan and from the perspective of a semiconductor producer, we should be thinking of it just like how we think about the Middle East in terms of crude oil. And China is obviously very aggressive and ambitious in terms of the semiconductor industry, especially under the sanctions put on the China's tech companies by the Trump administration. So I think Taiwan is obviously high in their mind. And this is also something we have detected in terms of the change in the narratives since early last year.
In using the metaphor of gunpowder, I believe that was the word that jumped out in the conversation in Anchorage, Alaska. Gunpowder famously, legendarily invented in China, not in Europe. Is China seeking to separate the United States from its European allies? Is China seeking to say the U.S. is not acting in the best interests of Europe and our trade is separate from their trade?
I don't think that's the case. What I see as a pattern is that China is getting more and more aggressive across United States and its allies. Because think about what China is doing to Australia, right? The tremendous amount of economic pressures now China is putting on Australia, simply because Australia was sanctioning Chinese officials because of Hong Kong. And China is doing the same to the two Canadians just in the past week or so on closed-door trials in China as a retaliation of what you know, the Canada is doing in terms of keeping the Huawei founder's daughter in Canada. So I view this as a progression of China's aggression overseas. Now they are doing this to Xinjiang and Hong Kong. It doesn't seem the Western society is countering China that effectively. And China might actually take the wrong lesson and think that they could have done more and they are going to do more. And I think what they are saying in Alaska so aggressively to U.S. officials is an indication that more is coming and Washington should be on high alert.
Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.